Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Vox Markets. I am John Heumann, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Matt Timmins, Chief Exec of fast-growing fintech group, Fintel. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing very well, thanks, John, and pleasure to be with you today.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming on. We're going to talk about what's been a very exciting year for the company. Perhaps talk us through the sort of the overall financial highlights of the year. What's really been behind the massive progress you've made this year?
Sure, absolutely. And we're at the stage at the moment of essentially releasing our pre-close information. So the full details will be with everyone in March when we release the full set of results. But essentially, the highlights are revenue up 8% in the core business, EBITDA up 6% across the business, and our SaaS and subscriptions continued to make great progress. So we're up 7% in our SaaS and subscriptions metric as well. So a strong performance across across all of the financial metrics, driven largely or in part by distribution as a service as well. So we've increased the revenue that we generate from product manufacturers across that that line of business, and the percentage of those who've converted over to the subscription model is now up to 70% of revenue. So that's a really strong performance from us as well. During the period, we also negotiated a new RCF, so an RCF of up to 80 million now on improved terms from the last one. So really strong financial highlights across the business. And we look forward to more to come in 23.
It's been a real year of financial progress, and that's been driven, you know, in a large part, as you mentioned, by distribution as a service and digitization. You know, that seems to be the key theme for the group. Can you tell us sort of what that means, what the plans are, and really sort of give us a bit of detail on the progress you've made there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've continued to invest into the business. I mean, you know, running any kind of business, and especially a listed business, is also always a balance, you know, between delivering on your numbers and also continuing to invest for the future. And I think we've got the balance really right at Fintel. So we've continued to invest in the digitization of the business. We've continued to invest in things like our fledgling data products. We've added new modules to our de facto business. We have invested into portals for our provider partners, and a new portal coming in 23 for our intermediary membership. So we've continued to invest into things like data and digitization to improve the incremental revenue that we'll drive in the future, and also to improve the services we'll deliver to our customers. So I think it's been, as you said, a strong year, you know, good financial performance and solid investment into the business.
Yeah, I mean, data must be hugely important to this industry. I mean, it's all about data. So you know, really give us a feel for you know, what value you're adding to your partners, why your products are in, you know, such strong demand.
Yeah, absolutely. And data is important, and the industry is awash with data or historic data to tell you trends as to what's happened and how much is being invested into what particular platforms. So there's a lot of data around the what has happened. The data that we have is more around the why. So it's about consumer preferences and choice, and it's about advisor behavior. So we believe that data is fundamentally important to those companies who manufacture products. Because if you can better understand what your customers are looking for and you can better understand the decisions they're making and the drivers for choosing one product over another, then it will help you develop the products of the future. So that's why we're investing so much into our data business, because we believe we've got a really unique set of data all around the why and customer preferences.
And you know, one of the things I see as a real, you know, differentiator for the group and a real powerful thing that you have is the fact that you are across the value chain from the, as you say, the product manufacturers right through to the consumer. Can you sort of talk us through how that value chain really sets you apart?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, retail financial services is an incredibly important market. We fundamentally believe that it's a great market for consumers. Consumers get access to thousands of financial products from hundreds of manufacturers who are well capitalized with strong brands and at a price and value which is, you know, really important to consumers. So we think it's a great market. The difficulty is it's a challenge to operate in that market. It's a highly regulated market, as we know, and it's also highly intermediated. So, you know, for a manufacturer to get their product in the hands of the consumer, it's quite a difficult and costly job. So what we do is we provide services right across that value chain. We don't manufacture our own financial products and we don't give retail financial advice. What we do is we support financial intermediaries, of which there are 12,000 IFAs in the market, around 10,000 mortgage brokers, and 4,000 or 5,000 wealth managers across the market. So we provide services to all of these people and help them to deliver a great outcome for their clients. We research and rate financial products because we think it's important for consumers that they have a kind of shorthand device to understand the sort of underlying componentry of the products and the quality of the products. So we do that through our de facto business. And then when it comes to manufacturers, we help them to design and distribute products, design them through the data that I talked about earlier, and distribute them across that massive intermediary population. So right across the value chain, whether it's, you know, from product manufacturing all the way through to consumers, we help everyone to do a better job in the market.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is sort of reflected in some of the really big deals that you signed this year in terms of things like, you know, the strategic distribution agreements that you signed, the big partnerships with you know, very large groups. Can you talk through some of the highlights there?
Yeah, so let's focus on the deal that we did with Tatton, because that's been sort of well publicized. So Tatton Asset Management are an incredible business, really strong business, and they offer a range of model portfolios to consumers via financial intermediaries. So it's right in our sweet spot. It's a great product that's delivered across financial intermediaries. And because they have a large membership base of IFAs and wealth managers, they need technology to help those advisors to do a good job for their clients. So we help Tatton to distribute their products across the membership base that we have. And in return, we provide their clients with financial planning technology through our de facto business. So it's a really good partnership. It means that we can increase the number of users across our fintech platform. And it also gives us an opportunity to cross-sell and upsell to those users in the future. So it really is the very beginning of this five-year deal that we have with Tatton. And we hope and they hope that we continue to extend that further. Mm.
And you've also been signing other agreements with companies like M&G and Schroders and, you know, really across the industry. Can you talk through, you know, what they are, how perhaps they differ slightly from what you're doing with Tatton?
There's a combination of our distribution as a service deal, which provides those product manufacturers with access to distribution, marketing services, and also data services across a dedicated portal that we've built for those companies. So there's one type of deal that we do. And we also provide a number of companies with an asset allocation model that we've co-developed with Hymans Robertson. So this helps those fund providers to run their funds according to an asset allocation model, which is built into advisor technology. So it ensures that the client gets a seamless journey all the way through.
So, I mean, that sounds to me like product development and, you know, really keeping ahead of the industry is absolutely key to your continued success. So can you talk us through perhaps, you know, what you've done on the product development front this year specifically and what the plans are to deliver more sort of industry-leading products?
So, if we take, for example, Defacto, we have launched our pension switching tool, and we've also launched our cash flow modeling tool as well. So two big key product developments within the Defacto suite. For SimplyBiz, we have launched it's more of a service than a product, but aimed at helping advisors to navigate the new regulation which is coming in around Consumer Duty. So it's a combination of product and service developments all across the business from Defacto to SimplyBiz.
Right. You mentioned regulation as something that's obviously key in this industry, a very, very heavily regulated industry. Can you talk us through what's been happening on the regulatory front?
Regulation never stands still, and you know this year is going to be another important year for regulation. So coming up in July is the FCA Consumer Duty, and that will increase requirements for both intermediaries and product providers, with a you know an emphasis on evidencing suitability and fair value at the point of product design, distribution, and also advice. So that's a really important new piece of regulation that's coming in. We are already well set up to provide intermediaries with what they need to comply with the new rules, and we're investing heavily into Defacto to help those product manufacturers not only comply with Consumer Duty, but also get the very best out of it as well. So, you know, regulation is a tailwind for our business, and as regulation gets tougher, we tend to find an increase in demand from new customers and also the opportunity to create and build new products. So, yeah, it's going to be a really important year.
Absolutely. The other thing you've been doing with the group is obviously sort of slightly reshaping it in terms of, you know, sort of disposals and potential acquisitions as well. Can you talk us through, you know, what you've done over the year to get the group to where you want it to be and what's perhaps coming next? As you say, you've got a lot of financial firepower there to bolster the business.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've pointed out to the market for the last sort of 2 or 3 years that there was a couple of disposals that we needed to do. One of those was Verbatim Asset Management, and the other one was the business Zest that we had in employee benefits, and we have completed both of those. There is another disposal that we will concentrate on at some point in the future, which is the surveying business that we have, which is non-core to the way that Fintel is operating going forward. And then, as you rightly point out, acquisitions are a key part of our future and our strategy. Our business is incredibly profitable. It's also very cash generative, so that enables us to take on debt in a really measured way to help us drive growth in the business. So I can point to the Defacto acquisition as being a prime example of that. So in 2019, we acquired Defacto, and as you sort of fast forward to today, we've almost doubled the profits within that business. We've paid off all of the debt, over 30 million that we took on to acquire the business. We did a combination of debt and equity to acquire that business. So we're confident that we can bring in, you know, real quality businesses into the Fintel family and that will sit on our platform. And therefore, we've expanded and extended the RCF. So we have a new £80 million facility on really, really strong terms, really good terms. And a key part of our future will be to look at, you know, really good businesses that we believe will add growth and customers to our platform. The challenge has always been and continues to be to find the right businesses out there. You know, I think valuations have been quite high over the last couple of years, and we've seen businesses come to market that have been sort of you know, pre-profitability, in some cases pre-revenue, that have had, you know, in our view, completely unrealistic views on valuation. What we're looking to acquire are businesses that have strong customer base, that are already making you know, good profits, and that have a real path to growth in the future. And there aren't many of those, and when you find them, they come at a, you know, at a decent premium. So that's why we've invested into the you know, into that RCF, and why we believe that acquisitions are a key part of our story.
Now, presumably, I mean, you know, given what you've built already, and you know, as I say, the financial firepower that you have, you're perhaps in the leading position to really be picking those assets up.
Yeah, I think I think we're in a great position because we've got a solid customer base already. The average tenure of our membership is 6.5 years. We support around 10,000 intermediaries across the market in terms of services and tech. So we are well established. We're a 20-year-old business operating at scale. And therefore, I think we're in a prime position to acquire businesses, pop them onto the platform, and help them help the business grow, which in turn will support our growth. So I also believe that we have really strong brands in the market, and that there are many businesses out there that will benefit from the strength of the Factor and Simply Biz brands. So I think we're in a great position.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing that we've covered at Vox, and I know which is very important to you, and in fact, what it seems to me, the very essence of what you do in terms of improving consumer outcomes is ESG. That's been a big focus of the group this year. Perhaps you can talk through what you've done there and why it's so important to FinTel.
Yeah, absolutely. ESG is a real focus for us, and it's a focus in two areas. So one of those areas is that de facto reviews products from an ESG angle. So we do ESG reviews through de facto, which helps advisors and customers understand the sort of relative ESG componentry of the funds themselves. So that's one area in which we're helping the market. The other area is what we do ourselves. So we've taken a stance on ESG where we have decided that our customers and stakeholders should help us to decide what is important and what we need to deliver. So we've done what's called a materiality assessment. So we've written out to all of our stakeholders, customers and investors, and asked them what they believe is the most important thing for us to concentrate on from an ESG perspective. So we've got the results of those surveys back, we've published those, and now it's about the business going forward, delivering to those promises. And those are all set out in on our website, and they're also set out in our annual report accounts. So yeah, ESG is really important. Our aim is to be one of the leading lights on AIM as far as ESG is concerned. And for us, primarily, it is around the G, around governance. You know, we're not a business that produces a lot of waste, and we're not a business that consumes a lot of energy. So we don't manufacture products, and we don't do anything along those kind of environmentally dangerous lines. So, for us, it really is concentrating on governance and concentrating on things like data and systems, which are really important.
I mean, just in terms of the overall landscape as well, it's been a difficult year on the markets, but I guess, without asking you to make any predictions about what comes next, how do you see sort of the general sort of investment landscape at the moment, in terms of investment demand and that kind of thing, particularly among, the retail end customers?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it has been an incredibly difficult market, and I think it will continue to be a tough market for a decent period of time to come. That said, when markets are tough, and that tends to be the time when consumers want to take advice more than ever. Mm-hmm. So, there is definitely going to be a challenging mortgage market going forward, but I think more and more people will want to take advice before they take out a mortgage to understand, are they getting the best rate, over what term should they maybe taking the deal over and all that sort of stuff. So I think we'll see continued demand for mortgage brokers and the service they offer. And I think we'll see continued demand for investment advisors as well. As markets get tough, people look to advisors to help them to navigate those tough times. So I think our customer base will continue to have high demand. What will be challenging for everyone is that because it'll be a tough market for some time to come, then you tend to find that businesses like ours and other small cap stocks will get unduly punished for the sort of market backdrop. So I'm fully expecting that. Our job is to continue to deliver solid financial performance as we have done since we've listed on the market, Our job is to continue to invest into the business, to grow our customer base, to invest and digitize, and to build our new sort of fledgling products like our data services. And that's all we can really do in this market at this moment in time.
Indeed. It's something it sounds like as well, you know, in a market where customers are seeking advice, the providers of that advice need to be able to offer it as efficiently and effectively as possible, which sounds exactly like what you're doing. So with all that in mind, can you give us a feel for perhaps to finish off? What sort of news flow can we expect in the year ahead? You know, it's been a busy year on the news front this year. Is it more of the same or have you got some tricks up your sleeve?
I think we've got some ambitious targets for 23. We started the year incredibly well. I think it will be another year of solid financial performance from the group. We have continued to invest into a number of different products. So I think there'll be quite a lot of investment into the business this year. But also we'll start to see the fruits of our labor of last year coming through. So we'll start to see hopefully an uptake in new modules and new technology. So I think, it's going to be another year of solid financial performance and of growth within the core business.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks, Matt. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you again, and looking forward to seeing the numbers soon.
Super. Thank you, John.
Thanks.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.